For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
So this morning we're looking at living victorious in these last days. Let's open up in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your wonderful word. Thank you for your presence. And I pray that you help us to understand your word and to grow in the knowledge of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. So looking at this topic, living victoriously in these last days, it's important for us to understand that we are living in end times. Things are wrapping up in history for mankind, and as the Lord Jesus Christ prophesied in Matthew 28, that there would be an end of the world. So the end of the world is coming no matter what the world does or says. The end of the world is definitely coming. So the last two sermons I've dealt a lot with this, and we're continuing on living victoriously in these last days. Let's have a look at Psalm 110 verse 3, because one of the important things with respect to Christians is how we approach these days. Do we approach it all churned up, all worried, all fearful of what's coming on the earth? Or do we approach it by faith and understanding that we have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ? That's the way, isn't it? We don't walk by sight, we walk by faith, and that's an important thing to understand. Looking at Psalm 110, and we'll look at verse 3. Psalm 110, verse 3. It says, "Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning. Thou hast the dew of thy youth." So we see that willingness is a very big part of these days. In the day of God's power, we'll look more about that a bit later, but in the days of God's power, when he pours out of his spirit upon all flesh, God's people will be willing to do his will, willing to go his way, willing to know of him and even put aside their own ways. In fact, definitely putting aside their own ways and being transformed by the renewing of their mind. There's a couple of big things that can really hinder the willing area. One is if we take our own philosophies and our own beliefs and will not allow the word to shape our mind and to prosper our souls. And all of us have baggage and things that come from the past that we've brought into our lives, but the Lord wants us to change those things. And so willing to be obedient to him, willing to be renewed in our minds, willing to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, willing to change for him, because he might tell us things that we don't want to hear, but that might be because of the way we were thinking in the past. He might tell us things that we don't want to be willing about. But thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, and in the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning thou hast the dew of thy youth. So holiness is a big part of the Christian walk. Glory to God. If you have a look at Daniel 12, look at verses 1 to 4. Daniel 12, we see, talks about some end stages we need to be aware of the end of the world and the end of history. Now, he packs a lot in these verses, and they cover a long period of time, really. But it says in verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble. This is talking about the great tribulation to come, and that's during the reign of the final Antichrist. Such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered. Talking about the church being delivered from the wrath of God that will be poured out upon the earth. Everyone that shall be found written in the book. That's talking about the Lamb's Book of Life. And the Lamb's Book of Life is found in Revelation 20. We all, if we have been born again, then we will have our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Glory to God. And it covers the resurrection, verse 2. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. So we looked at the first resurrection that's spoken of in Revelation 20, and we saw that the first resurrection covers from the covers a period of time from the resurrection of the Lord Jesus right to the beginning of the millennium. And so we are part of that, and the Bible says we are blessed if we're part of the first resurrection. But of course, there are those that are going to be coming to shame and everlasting contempt. That's the resurrection of the damned, which we know to be at the end of the millennial reign of Christ on the earth. It talks about rewards in verse 3. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. So think about us. We are children of light. When you're born again, your eternal life with God forever starts at the time you're born again. And as you grow in the knowledge of the word, as you grow in wisdom, the light shines more and more out of you. So imagine what you can do with your life 20, 30 years. Are you different from the time you were born again? 20 years down the track, you should be. 30 years down the track. Now imagine 50, 100, 1,000 years, 1,000,000 years down the track. As it says there, they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. So we see that the brightness is going to continue to increase, and the brightness goes right on into eternity. Glory to God. Verse 4, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, sealing this book of prophecy, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. So we see that many shall run to and fro right across the earth at the moment, happening, and knowledge shall be increased. We see that the technology that we have now enables us to access huge amounts of knowledge, for example, through the internet and so on. But that's not just talking about natural knowledge. It's talking about knowledge of the word. It's talking about knowledge of prophecy, talking about knowledge of faith and these whole areas. In other words, spiritual knowledge. So knowledge shall be increased. And of course, when we think about that, we know that the end time church must be a glorious church according to Ephesians 5. Remember what I just said about light. The light of the word of God comes in to his people. So the knowledge of the word of God more and more is coming out of the people of God. That's that glorious church that we're to be a part of, we are a part of. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ is looking to come and present to himself. So knowledge shall be increased. Yes, it talks about the general bank of knowledge, but also the knowledge of the word of God there. So we see they that be wise. So the first thing to be living victoriously in these last days is to act wisely in God. If you look at Proverbs 13, verse 14, Proverbs 13, verse 14, look at a few things here. Proverbs 13, 14 tells us what we are to be drawing from if we are to be wise in God. It says, "The law of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death." So the law of the wise, that's the word of God. Notice what it is. It's a fountain of life. A fountain of God's life. Fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. If you have the law of the wise in you, the word in you, the truth in you, it's like a fountain or a source of life for you, and it will cause you to depart from the snares of death. You know, who's out there trying to snare people in these snares of death, the things that lead to death, the curse? Who's out there? Well, it's obviously the devil, and he's the deceiver. He's the one that's snaring people, hindering people, and so on, trying to keep people away from operating by the law of the wise. But, you know, they that be wise shall be willing in the day of God's power. And we are to be wise. We are to be people that have that law constantly within us and is drawing from that fountain of life. So even though all around us might be all types of things that are trying to keep us back from the knowledge of God, we know that we have God in us and working in us, and as we allow his word to be in us, then we have that fountain of life that causes us to depart from the snares of death. We're going the opposite direction from the snares of death. Isn't that great? That is something that we can take hold of. Praise the Lord. If you have a look at Isaiah 46, 9 to 13. Now, I mentioned before that knowledge shall be increased in these days. And in Isaiah 46, we see something very significant here about the Lord. And we'll look at verses 9 to verse 13 of Isaiah 46. 9 to 13. This is the Lord speaking. He says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me." That's what it says in verse 10. "Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." So notice that God can look at time and see the end from the beginning. To him, time is a created thing. He can see the end from the beginning. No one else can do that. As he says there, there is none else. There's no one like God. So we should be people that, as we're living in wisdom and growing in wisdom, we're also growing in the knowledge of the Word of God in this area about prophecy. And there's a lot in the Word of God about prophecy. And he says here, "My counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure." Because what is history pointing to but ultimately God's manifested victory and the gospel being preached, as the scripture says, to all nations? So notice what it says in the next part, starting from verse 11. "Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. Hearken unto me, ye stout-hearted that are far from righteousness. I bring near my righteousness. It shall not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry, and I will place salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory. Now, Zion is a type of the church. God has placed salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory. Now, we do know that the prophecy is that Israel, natural Israel, will be converted. Okay? And there is a turning point for that, a starting or catalyst for that, and that's obviously when you look into the scriptures, you see that in Ezekiel 38 and 39 when the final Eastern Antichrist, the Russian leader Gog, invades Israel. And we haven't seen that yet, but it is coming. It's coming down the track. So our God is revealing things to us, and he's showing us that we should be walking wisely in these days, not being swayed by every whim or every doctrine that comes along, but be people of the Word of God, so that we do shine as those that are wise. Glory to God. Looking at Luke 21:20-28. You see here in Luke 21 an example of how understanding and being wise about the times can help people, Christians, in their walk and understanding or knowing what to do. So we'll read Luke 21:20-28. And that's what it says here, starting with verse 20. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Now, this is talking about the time when the Romans surrounded Jerusalem. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter therein. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. So who do you think is going to be heeding this prophecy, verses 21 and 22, when they see the Roman armies coming to compass Jerusalem about? Who do you think would be listening to this prophecy? Would it be the non-believers? No. But the believers, and that's exactly what happened. Many Christians took hold of this prophecy, and they understood, and they escaped from Jerusalem at that time. It's a historical fact, and you can look out for it yourself. Verse 23, but woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Did we see, and it started at 70 AD, did we see Israel dispersed into all the nations? We did. That's exactly what happened. And there are prophecies that talk about Israel being brought together as a nation again. And we saw that in 1947. So we see that, yes, the prophecy was very clear there. God knows the end from the beginning. The Christians heeded at the time and escaped. Many Jews perished at that time because they weren't looking at these prophecies. And as it says there in verse 24, they shall fall by the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations. Then he goes forward, verse 25, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Notice what it says in verse 26, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. One of the important things for Christians to live victoriously on the earth is to live by faith, not in fear. It's very easy to look at the news of the day and see, well, this is happening here and that's happening here, and politics is full of deception, and there's all these type of things happening to the society and undermining our freedoms, etc., etc. But does the Lord tell us to meditate on that? Or does he tell us to meditate on his word? Many times he talks about meditating on the word and letting the word of God come into your heart and be directed through his word. So we must be people that aren't as this category here in verse 26, men's hearts failing them for fear. What does God say about fear? I will fear no evil. And God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And why are their hearts failing for fear? For looking after those things which are coming on the earth. And people know that things aren't right. They're looking all around us. They know things aren't right. We don't even have to tell them that. They know that. And I'm sure you're meeting up with that all the time. Verse 27, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. So we see that there is going to be a visible coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in the future, where everyone will see that. And obviously there's the technology to be able to see right across the earth now. But this is going to be seen, it's going to be heard, it's going to be known. And it is this part here, we talked a fair bit the other day about the rapture of the church, and then Revelation 19 shows all the church together and in fine linen, and then all of them come together with Christ and his feet, as Zechariah 14 says. His feet stand on the Mount of Olives. It's split in two, and the armies that are surrounding Jerusalem at that time, down the track again, Jerusalem's a real key city in the history of this planet. At that time, the armies will be destroyed. And Zechariah 14 talks about the Lord returning with all of his saints as well. So how did they get there? Well, they were clearly taken there before the Great Tribulation, and then they come back after there's been events in heaven happen. And you see it in Revelation 19. We won't go back to that, but in Revelation 19 you see, if you read through it, all the saints and then the second coming of Christ. And this is what this particular one, verse 27, is talking about there. So verse 28 says, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Now we have a God that is giving us information, but we must be wise people that are looking at it in the right way. Glory to God. So we walk by faith, not by fear. It's easy to look at things happening on the earth today and getting all churned up about it. My suggestion, my exhortation, is in fact not to be meditating too much on the news, okay, but to be looking into the Word, become very familiar with prophecy and so on. Let's have a look at Isaiah 54, 13 to 17. Isaiah 54 clearly shows us the type of people we are to be. And of course, this relates to us in these last days when all these things are happening around us. How does the Lord want us to be living? Well, we already talked about living wisely, didn't we? And getting wisdom from God's word. There's also this fact of living in freedom from fear of evil and trusting in the Lord with all our heart, because as we do that, we understand that he is with us, he never leaves us nor forsakes us, and we boldly say he is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Looking at Isaiah 54, 13 to 17, it says, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Verse 14 says, in righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. It's interesting he uses the word terror, isn't it? We're living in a time when you hear that word terror quite a lot. But the Bible says we can live far from terror. As it says there, for it shall not come near thee. A lot of protection from the Lord is being in the right place at the right time. So that you're not right where the terror attack is happening or where the oppression is happening and so on. And the leading of the Spirit, that's all about that. Being where he wants you to be. So even if he told you to go to a place where there's lots of trouble, if he told you, he'll give you the protection, the enabling as well. We see that in Paul's life, obviously, and it can be in ours as well. So notice what it says in verse 15, behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. That sounds as though God is for us, not against us. That sounds as though the enemies, we shouldn't be fearing the enemies or fearing what's coming on the earth or fearing events, but looking to the Lord constantly. So verse 16, behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work, and I have created the waster to destroy, obviously not to destroy his people, but to destroy evil. We see over and over scriptures that talk about God destroying evil. Verse 17, a wonderful, victorious scripture for us, a good thing to put into your mouth. No weapon that is formed against thee, and thee is singular, shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. This is your heritage. You're a servant of the Lord. This is your heritage. And your righteousness is of God, not your own righteousness. It's come from the Lord Jesus Christ. Their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. So if you're a servant of the Lord, this applies to you. This applies to you. And you can say, no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against me in judgment I condemn in Jesus' name. Okay? You remember, you've got to live in wisdom. You've got to allow God to change you. You've got to live in holiness. All right? But the Lord has over and over and over again scriptures that tell us that he equips his people, that he guides his people, that he strengthens his people, that he gives his people victory. As it says there, that he prospers, that he gives us these prosperity, but also he gives us these promises about no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Let's have a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 6 to 10. 2 Corinthians 5, 6 to 10. The Lord is dealing with his church across the earth. We know that. We know that. The Lord has people right across the earth and he's dealing with them. He's saying, this is the way, walk in it. This is the way I want you to be in these last days. And if we start from verse 6, we'll go to verse 10. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. So you can see that we live in a body And when we die physically, our inner man will separate from our outer man and we'll go to be with the Lord. Okay, so that's a very basic doctrine. Verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. How are we walking? By faith, not by sight. We shouldn't be allowing the sight things all around us to sway us, but allowing the word of God, because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word. So allowing the word of God to give us the direction, to give us the strength, to bring us into a greater way of walking by faith. Verse 8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Who doesn't want to be in heaven? You know, let's face it. But we have a work down here to do, because there's many lost people, many people in need of the Lord. We'd love to be in heaven now, but we know that there is work for us to do on the earth at the moment. And that's what he says in verse 9. Wherefore we labour that whether present or absent we may be accepted of him. So we're labouring now on the earth. And there are, as we mentioned in the previous sermon, there are rewards attached to that. Rewards attached to that. So we don't want to be doing things that are outside of the will of God, or doing it out of a grudging heart, but doing it as people that want to do it. Now, we talked a lot in verse 10 about the judgment seat of Christ, which will be an event that comes after the rapture or translation of the church. And it says in verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. How many of us? All of us. All of us. All appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And of course, the judgment seat of Christ is not a judgment about whether you're saved or not. It's a judgment about whether you get rewards or losses connected to the works you've done. Wood, hay, stubble works, obviously, will be burned up in the fire of judgment. Gold, silver, precious stone works will last, and there'll be a reward attached to that. So this is a future event, and we need to be ready for it. How are we ready for that? We're people that believe the word of God and live in holiness. So walk by faith. If you look at Romans 10, 8 and 9, we're talking about living victoriously in these last days, knowing that these events are coming up. I've talked about quite a few. Knowing that there is a judgment seat of Christ coming up, we must be people that are believing the word, not putting it aside in our life. And there's many distractions. I said to someone recently, the devil will always give you something to be distracted or worried or fearful about. But that's not us. It shouldn't be us. So Romans 10, 8 and 9. That's what it says here. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So we're people that must have the word in our heart and in our mouth in these days. And that is the word of faith which we preach. So preaching is a great work that must be done right across the earth. The preaching of the gospel obviously will lead to verse 9, so that people are confessing with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believing in their heart that God has raised him from the dead. They'll be saved then. They'll be saved. But they have to hear the word, don't they? They have to hear the gospel. And the technology to do that is present right across the earth now. It's present to be able to preach right across the earth. The technology to do that is not for the devil to be using for all his we can only say sin and filth, but to be using it for the Lord. So get ready for a great transference into the hands of believers in the future. This is a real thing, and it's pointed to many times in Scripture. So we must be examples and witnesses for Christ. Let me just finish with this. Remember I said, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. If you have a look at Acts 1 verse 8, I'm sure many of us are familiar with this. But the Lord points to how the end time church is going to be. It's not going to be a weak type of church. It's going to be a church in Pentecostal power. In Acts 1 verse 8 says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now we could stop there, but that's not where it stops. We could stop there and think, well, I've got power now in my life, but God doesn't end it there, because God has a reason for that power. Okay? And it says, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Just reading this, it seems very clear that the power of the Holy Ghost through the baptism of the Holy Ghost has to be so that people can reach to the uttermost part of the earth as witnesses. If you look at Acts 2, verses 1 to 4, we'll look at that, then we'll go further into Acts 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Now Jesus said to his disciples to wait or tarry at Jerusalem until they had this filling. It seemed to me that he saw it as a very important baptism, this baptism of the Holy Ghost. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Here's a wonderful work of the Spirit, and it applies to today. How do we know that? Well, if we go forward in Acts chapter 2 to verses 16 to 21, you can clearly see this. It says, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord shall come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Glory to God. Glory to God. That's the ultimate reason that we are witnesses, and in fact the church be a witness in Pentecostal power. We see that that's the only way it matches verses 16 to 21. Pentecostal power reaching across the earth and reaching multitudes for the Lord so that they'll call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. So how are we to be living victoriously in these days? Certainly we can't be people living as fools. We must be wise. We can't be people that are living out of faith and in fear. We must have faith. We can't be people that aren't obeying or believing the word of God. We must be people that are believing the word of God, regardless of how we might feel or see things are happening around us. And we must be examples and witnesses for Christ. The end time church cannot and will not be a weak church. Glory to God. It'll be a word church. Thank you, Lord. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you, Lord. We thank you for the privilege that you have given to us of being able to work for you, of being people, saved people by the blood of Jesus, that now have that calling and privilege to do things for you. Continue to work in us, Lord, and show us and bring us more and more into line with your will, Lord. Your ways, not our own ways, but your ways. And anything that needs to be changed in our lives, we ask that you change us. You show us very clearly what you want for us, even as individuals and as corporately, as a church congregation, in Jesus' name.